Welcome to the weekly podcast of Epworth United Methodist Church in Berkeley, California. Reverend Odette Lockwood Stewart, pastor of Epworth United Methodist Church, spoke on August 7, 2005. Her sermon was titled, A Window Open to Heaven. By naming truth, prophets are windows to God. Our lives can become windows through which God can be seen. The lectionary reading is Micah chapter 6, verses 6 through 8.
I received your total request live sermon suggestions for the month of August shortly before my husband Jim and I left for 2.5 weeks in Germany on June 30th. So I brought all the request pages with me on vacation. I figured I'd get a chance to look at them at some point while we were traveling. We were staying in the city of Kassel with a dear friend of mine, Louisa Schottroff, when I began to read through these requests. The first one in the file requested a sermon on the theology of Dorothea Sola. Now, how many of you know Dorothea Sola? I know who made that request. Only in Epworth can you go through the theology of, and here's the second part, it also reads, Struggles of a Euro-American, Entitlement, Oppression, and Redemption. Whew, that's vacation preparation. So only at Epworth can you have that and Old Rugged Cross and Battle Hymn of the Republic all requested at the same time. And on unforgivable sins and blaspheming. Dorothea Sola was a liberation theologian who died at the age of 73, just 2 years ago. She was a peace activist and an environmentalist. Now, even though I was on vacation, I was highly motivated to begin work on Shan's particular request while in Kassel. Because while Louisa Schottroff is a friend that I had come to know and love over the 4 years I directed the contextual education program at PSR, and she was a visiting professor, she also had been Dorothea Sola's closest friend and colleague. They wrote books together, taught together, and spoke by telephone wherever in the world they were. Both were born and raised in Germany and formed by families that resisted Nazi imperialism and that suffered at the hands of Soviet imperialism. Louisa's brother was killed in a Soviet camp following World War II. Both taught for several years in the United States. Both are scholars and activists of global importance who reflect a deep sense of justice and of prophetic truth in their scholarship and witness. Now, just happening to be at Louisa's home in Kassel, Germany, I carried this sermon request to her garden table, and we talked late into the night about her friend and colleague. Louisa specifically suggested Sola's 1990 book, which is entitled The Window of Vulnerability, A Political Spirituality. The book is dedicated to Louisa Schottroff. Dr. Sola begins that book with a poem. It is titled simply The Window of Vulnerability. It reads, The window of vulnerability must be closed. So the military say to justify. My skin is a window of vulnerability. Without moisture, without light, without touching, I must die. The window of vulnerability is being walled up. My land cannot live. We need light so we can think. We need air so we can breathe. We need a window open to heaven. A vital element in prophetic witness is vulnerability, openness, otherness, willingness to live and to name truths that make us vulnerable. Vulnerability is the unspoken fourth element in the prophet Micah's well-known verse. God has shown you, O human, O Adam, what is required. And what does God require of you but to do justice, love kindness, and walk humbly with God? That is more than practicing random kindness. That is a daily, humble, vulnerable walk, opening our souls to the light of God that we know in Jesus. In other words, be prepared to let go of that to which you feel entitled. Be vulnerable to other lives, other needs, other claims. In the words of John Wesley, walk in constant fellowship with God. Dorothea Zola wrote about Siegfried. How many of you know the most powerful hero in German mythology, Siegfried? Anyone? All right. Siegfried kills a dragon, then bathes in the monster's blood, which gives him an impenetrable armor-like skin. Zola writes, "Dragon's blood is the sacramental sign of the powerful. Those who embrace this myth have bathed in it with their victor's smiles. Nothing much must ever touch them. They want to wall up all the windows, no light to peek in." She continues, "Transcendence is dangerous. God is dangerous. The Holy Spirit is dangerous because transcendence makes us vulnerable. Therefore, the state," she writes, "which has raised up the idol of invulnerability in the name of security, must attempt to disallow all genuine transcendence. Only the false transcendence that lies and has reduced itself to the otherworldly and the individual is allowed." And then she closes with, "The myth of the invulnerable hero or state is opposed to the unarmed carpenter's son from Galilee. There is nothing here to harmonize." She wrote these words 20 years ago in Germany, but somehow it seems to be not too great a stretch to read them in the United States in 2005. "The myth of the invulnerable hero is opposed to the unarmed carpenter's son in Galilee." She goes on to say, "There are churches that mix the blood of the lamb with dragon's blood. They try to subject us to this world's dominant ideals of invulnerability and success, and in so doing, they close the window of vulnerability. But this is the only window toward heaven that we have. Our certainty as Christians is in the one, Jesus Christ, who was most vulnerable of all, even to the cross." Now, in ancient Israel and in the days of Jesus, people could recognize a prophet from far away, long before they heard their words. Now, you might think that you could recognize a prophet on Telegraph or Shattuck Avenue or Hopkins Street or Fruitvale. Can any of you think of what image comes to your mind when you think of recognizing a prophet long distance? What? A staff. With a staff. Anything else? A mass of people following. Pardon?
Cell phone.
Cell phone. A cell phone. Anybody else? Any images?
An aura.
A prophet. Anyone else? Crazy. Anyone else? Wild, unruly hair. Scary. In their book, Jesus of Nazareth, Louisa Shuttroff and Dorothea Zola wrote that prophets could be easily recognized, not because they were wild-looking, angry protesters with a cell phone, but because they dispensed with any baggage on their wanderings. They had no money with them, nor sticks, staffs that the travelers would carry to help walk or to fend off animals or robbers. They had no sandals on their feet, no provisions, and no change of shirt. They could be distinguished from ordinary travelers because they made themselves vulnerable and dependent. They went into houses. They sat in marketplaces. They trusted the generous hospitality of the people. Prophets are not dubious soothsayers of the end times. Prophets are people who name the truth of their lives and of this world by name. By naming truth, prophets are windows to God. We need light so we can think. We need air so we can breathe. We need a window open toward heaven. Do justice. Love kindness, walk humbly. In other words, open up. Let light in, throw back curtains. Behold the glory of the living, loving God that is untamed by wishes, unimpressed by claims of victory, unmoved by our defenses, our efforts to be tough, or our desires to control. Open up, see and speak truth to powers and to ourselves. Open up, experience the agony and the ecstasy of the reality that we belong to each other as we belong to God. The shared meal to which we come is both a call and a reminder to share the vulnerability of Jesus Christ, to share the broken bread, the poured cup, as a way to truth and light. Our lives can become windows through which God can be seen. Thanks be to God. Amen.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. If you have comments, please send them to epworthonline@gmail.com. That's EPWORTH ONLINE@gmail.com.